And the context is Paul is here warning the Galatians about taking their liberty as a cause for sin, as a cause for license. He says, brethren, use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And he went on and spoke of those lusts of the flesh that because we're human, we are prone to, we're inclined to, and that we ever need to be on the guard against by the grace of God. And then we get into the part where he encourages us with the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit is something that's implanted by the Spirit and that is grown by the Spirit. And we saw beginning in verse 22 where Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And then we began last week looking at the first of these fruits in verse 23. Meekness. That matter of humility. That matter of, we spoke of, that meekness is power under control. Our Lord was infinitely power. And yet he was meek. And that's an example unto us. We considered how the Lord treats us as the poor creatures that we are, as the unworthy creatures that we are, and how we ought to treat others. Those who maybe have nothing to give us. We have nothing to benefit by dealing with them meekly. And yet, such was the Lord's dealing with us. And make no mistake about it, we pointed out last week, God hates pride. Many verses throughout Scripture. We need to guard against that. Usually we can find somebody that we think we're better than if we look around a little bit. And we are what we are, but by the grace of God. And there we are, but by the grace of God. And we learn that the Lord hates pride. Several verses in Scripture we consider. the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride. Proverbs 6 says, A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. But the Lord hates those things, amongst seven that are listed there. James tells us, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The Apostle Peter writes, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. You know, we need to be careful. Folks need to be, hey, I can accomplish it. I'm proud. I'm big. Listen, God resists the proud. And when God resists, you're in trouble. Proverbs 16, verse 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You know, we can look around and we can see folks that are proud in their lives, that are proud in their demeanor, that are proud in their positions. We can't necessarily look and see those that are proud in heart, but the Lord can. Everyone that is proud in heart, the Lord looks at the inner man. We can't. Someone told me, well, I look from the inside out. How can you look from the inside out of someone else? You know, we can only look what's on the outside. The Lord looks at the heart. And those that are proud of heart, an abomination to the Lord. We considered that first creature to sin was Satan. He was one of the loftiest of God's creations. And yet he wanted to exalt himself even above God. Isaiah the prophet wrote, Isaiah 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." We noticed as well, even in the garden, did the serpent, did Satan, did Lucifer seek to tempt God's creation to usurp their authority over God, to become like unto God? And he made those false promises. God's afraid. Well, but God's afraid that you'll be like him. Well, you know, God's not afraid of anything. And he doesn't know that they'll be lifted to his level if they sin. And yet that's the lie that Satan tells us. That's the lie that we tell ourselves. And pride begins with a lie. It begins with doubting the word of God. God said, of this fruit eat you not. And the doubt, the questioning. Satan says, yea, did God really say that? Yea, hath God said? Began in the garden and it continues to today. The doubts, the questions. Some of them very overt. Some of them, but perhaps, unfortunately, from time to time, even our own hearts, we're like, well, I'm not sure if that's really applicable to me. I'm not sure what, even though we know. Begins with questioning God's motives. God loves his people with an everlasting love. He's a sovereign God. It's not his will to withhold anything from those whom he loves and from those who are his. This pride, and the very opposite of this pride, what Paul speaks of here is meekness, is humility, this lowliness of mind. Pray that God keep us from pride. And as we noted, we live in a day where that word's very prominent. We just finished up a whole month of pride in America. Pride in those things that there should only be shame in. Pride in those things that are shameful to even speak of. Things that I couldn't have imagined in my youth, even in my early adulthood, I could not have imagined. Paul wrote to the saints in Ephesus in Ephesians 5 and verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit," again, that matter of the gift of God that's grown with us, "the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." We ought not see how close we can get to those things, how close we can get to the world. We ought not be asking in our own minds all the time, well, is it okay if a Christian does this or that? Usually if you have to ask, you already know the answer. And Paul says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Well, maybe I could get kind of close. I'll move over a little bit closer to it. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's a shame to even speak of those things. and yet we're confronted with them. It's on television, it's everywhere you turn, the media. Romans 1:32, and we'll probably talk more about this later as well, but Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That word pleasure speaks of like applauding. They applaud those things. They take pride in those things. And hence we have Pride Month. Who knowing God's judgment, that those who do such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure. They applaud. They take pride in those that do them. It's unwarranted, the shameful pride. In the verses that precede this, we see the cataloging of that in Romans 1, beginning in verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For their women did change, for their even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. See, people get upset when you say that's unnatural. That's what Scripture says it is. It is unnatural. It's just the way they're born. It's just the natural. They've always been here, I've heard lately. Well, they've always been here. I suppose in one way or the other, but it's always been against nature. It's always been an affront to God. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use. See, kind of like a trance thing, right? They changed their natural use. Who was it I saw that... Cat Kamick played a tape, wanted to play a tape, and it was all, everybody was upset in Congress from a pervert doctor. If you saw him and heard him talking, you knew he was a pervert. But this pervert doctor talking about the procedures they undergo and what they do to these people. And they really don't know where it all is heading. He admits all this stuff. And yet they change the natural use. And it's just gotten worse. They change the natural use into that which is against nature. Friend, you cannot change nature. You can fight against it, but you cannot prevail. If you jump off a cliff, you're going to fall down however far you jumped. That's part of God's nature. He created those things. You can't change any more than you can change a man into a woman or a woman into a man. They did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And Paul here is speaking evidently primarily of sodomy. But all this other stuff is just bound up in it. It's just one big snowball. It's gotten progressively worse, and the Scriptures tell us that was going to happen as well. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. It's ugly stuff. Men with men working that which is unseemly. It's not appropriate. Receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And we see the STDs, all these other things that go about. I used to say, and there's more involved in it now, I guess, but receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, that's called AIDS. It's what's appropriate unto that. It's what naturally follows that. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's the verses that precede the one we read here about having pleasure in them that do them. And our society applauds that now. Takes pride in that. Paul warns us against such shameful pride. Paul warns us against all pride. I mean, we can be proud and say we're better than them. By the grace of God, we are. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you ought, among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. By the grace of God, Paul says this comes from God. But he says, I say. Again, I take accountability for my actions, for my responses. God says it, and I, by his grace, repeat it. For I say, through the grace given to me, every man that is among you ought not to think himself of himself more highly than he ought to think. You better beware of that stuff. Think you've arrived and you're the pinnacle. But to think soberly. Scripture has much to say about that. Soberly, with a clear mind, with clear thought. Diane kept pointing out as she presented things to us about, you know, PrEP, and in particular about the COVID scamdemic, the need for critical thinking. It's something that people don't understand anymore. But Paul said, God says we ought to think soberly. We ought to evaluate things as they are. Not as we wish they would be. Not as we hope they would be. Not as CNN tells us they are. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul acknowledges, even as he's called upon to admonish these folks and to warn them against pride, that it's only by the grace of God. In fact, elsewhere we know Paul says he's the chief of sinners. And what saint can't identify with that? Through the grace given to me, not to think of himself more than he ought. Whatever gifts we have, whatever abilities we have, whatever knowledge we have come from God. Sometimes, and I don't know why, because I don't know much, and I don't do much, but even occasionally some of my friends or somebody today talked about, you know, the wise man, the courageous man. I said, you just say that because you don't know me well enough. But I know me, and that was in the context, you know, I'll explain a little bit. I've got, you know, an alternate account to fill in when I'm banned, and Facebook isn't banning a lot of people anymore, it seems like. I think they're just shadow banning, and banning, which means they don't let my stuff get out to people. But it's still, they don't officially ban me. And I, my alternate account, and just in case. And I put a notice there for folks. I get a lot of requests to be friends with Justin. Not many requests to be friends with me. I don't know why. And I put a note out there. I said, you know, folks who are on here or friends with Justin, you might also check out the account of Justin's very good friend, Greg Wilson. And then some of the folks who know me, they said, yes, he's a very good friend. I hope you all get a chance to hear him preach and some other things. And saying nice things, which I don't deserve. And I really said, I had Justin responded. I said, you just think highly of him because you don't know him as well as I do. And that's the truth. You know, it really is. by the grace of God, we do what we do. We do what we're called to. I wish you all had a better preacher. I wish I handle things better. I wish I did all kinds, but that's where the Lord's put me. And some folks who don't know me very well and mistakenly think I'm wise or mistakenly think I'm courageous, whatever that is by the grace of God. Paul says, "For I say through the grace given unto me." Paul says it, but he doesn't say of it his own authority or of his own power, of his own understanding. He says it by the grace given to him by God. Paul doesn't elevate himself above others as he admonishes them not to think more highly of themselves than they ought. And this is something we all need to heed. We all need to understand. Paul says, "I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think." As I think I mentioned last week, I sometimes say, well, we're glorified dirt balls, but we're not even really glorified. But God took a bunch of the earth, dirt, and breathed into it. His grace, that's a marvelous thing. But we ought to see ourselves as we are. And if we see ourselves as we are, how can we help but to be humble? And we see how we are by the mirror of Scripture. And James talks about those things. James 1, verse 22. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." You know, a lot of folks hear and even claim to believe. You know, we believe the right things. We're all Sovereign Grace Baptists. Well, but what do you do? What's your practice? "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You can claim to believe all those things, but if it makes no difference in the way you live, it makes no difference. If you don't practice it, you don't believe it, regardless of how we may protest. James says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know what? You're not deceiving anybody else. They can see you. They can see your actions. You can say all this stuff. But if you're not a doer, you're only deceiving yourself. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass." In a glass, you know, that pride. Wow, look at me, I look great, how wonderful. "For he beholdeth himself, and go his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You know, he goes away and says, "I'm fine." He didn't look at that reflection in the mirror and say, "There's something wrong with me." Because there is. "But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Again, it's the reflection in the mirror and the difference it ought to make. Not just going our way and say, "Everything's fine." Paul says we need to think soberly. Consider not only things as they are, but in particular, we as we are. That word soberly, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, means to be of a sound mind, to be in one's right mind, to exercise self-control, and really that'll bleed over to what we're going to talk about next when we get into temperance. To put a moderate estimate upon oneself, think of one's self soberly, to curb one's passions. And again, this all bleeds over into temperance that we'll get into next. They interlock. Meekness and temperance It's important to see ourselves as we are, to see ourselves, and to understand again that God hates pride. And America celebrates pride. And pride of all the wrong kind. And pride in all the rebellion against God. They take pride in sodomy. Something that's an abomination to God. And as we read there in Romans 1, and I'll not read those verses again, but when Paul says God turns them over to reprobate mind, to do those things, those unnatural things, those inconvenient things, and that they who know that judgment of God and those who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, have pleasure in them, they applaud them, they take pride in that. Brother, this is serious stuff. And we're going to find out. Everybody's going to find out soon enough. We ought to behave with modesty. We ought to behave with humility. Not proudness. Not boastfulness. We realize, we need to realize, we don't have a corner on the truth. I don't think I'm know everything. I'm the end all. Everybody who doesn't agree with me is wrong. But I know this. I only know what I know. I know what the Lord's taught me. And there are some things I'm absolutely certain of, and I'll tell you them. There are some things I'm pretty sure of. There's some things I'm still learning on, and we all are. Realizing we don't have a corner. If everybody had to believe just like me, then you'd all have to leave too. I'd have to leave half the time. We should behave with modesty, with meekness. And I've got a few other things to say on that. You get into circles. Of course, preachers are never guilty of these kind of things. Now, if you know preachers, and particularly in some circles, they're the worst. Can you imagine a man taking pride in how many people he's saved or how many people he's brought to the Lord? Can you imagine a man saying, you know, given, I forget what he used to say, I think 5 minutes. Give him 5 minutes with anyone. I can lead them to the Lord. What pride? You know, pride and how big a church is, how big the attendance is, how big the offering is. Let me say as well, I need to not take pride in how small we are. You know, that's, I believe, of God. I seek to proclaim the truth. And be we big or small, I'll leave that to God. So I'm not take pride in the stuff that I'm so orthodox that nobody will listen to me. Well, sometimes I think that. But the Lord knows that. How many people I've baptized, you know. And you'll often hear them talk about my church. I try to be careful about that. I mean, we all consider we're members. It's our church. But preachers, not my church. Yes. No, it's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's. I try to, when I correspond with folks, I try not just simply as a matter of habit, but I speak of the Lord's little flock. Those wonderful things he said to his disciples that so moved me. The Lord's little flock. May the Lord keep us humble. I shouldn't. Not to detract from that, but that can't help. Comes to mind the old saying about the church that brought in a new pastor and the deacon that prays. That, you know, Lord, keep our pastor humble, and we'll keep him poor. And you know, that's the way it happens sometimes too. We do all need the Lord to keep us humble. There's the tendency, the danger. and again, to think ourselves better than these other folks. We're not better than they are. We're more blessed. And by His grace, may we stand for His truth. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. 309, God's decrees. Now there's something to rest in. God's decrees. Number 309. Written by that old school Baptist William Gadsby. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for each one that's here. Lord, we thank You for Your love. Not one of us was deserving of it. Lord, help us to see ourselves as we are, not to look in the mirror and go away and forget what we saw. To see who and what we are. And Lord, to know that we must rely upon Your grace, upon Your sufficiency. And Lord, may we go forth and obey those things that You've commanded us to do. Lord, keep us from pride. Lord, help us to deal with one another and with others in humility. Lord, be with our brother Reagan as he makes his way back up to this area today. Lord, with those who need Your healing, with those who need Your comfort. Lord, thank You for the fellowship of the saints. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunities that You give such as we to serve Thee. Thank You, Lord, for Your eternal love, for our Savior's all-sufficient atonement, for the work of the Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.